Welcome, everyone, to The Enthusiast Life. I am your host, Mark Turcotte. I'm so glad each and every one of you have decided to make me a part of your day. Well, my friends, it is Friday, June 3rd, 2022. Hopefully you had a good week this week. I mean, we're still coming hot off the heels of the latest episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. This week we also had, the launch of Diablo Immortal, which I will be talking about next week. So far, having a good time with the game. Definitely a free-to-play game, but we'll be talking about that more next week. But today on the show, we're talking about a new game that I have been playing. I've been lucky enough to get into the closed beta for this game, and that is Marvel Snap. I talked last week a little bit about this game. I guess it was about a week and a half ago of this game being announced. And I've been playing now for good, probably 5 or 6 days, really up until Diablo Immortal launched, and now I've been kind of deep in that. But if you remember, this is a game from Ben Brody, one of the developers for Hearthstone. He was formerly at Blizzard. He's left and created his own team, Second Dinner, and he's basically making yet another digital card game. It's going to be available on Android, iOS, and eventually even on PC. I don't know if they haven't really said if that's going to be a day and date launch on there. But it's going to break it down. So obviously it's Marvel. Right now there's 150 cards in the set that are there. And essentially the way it goes is you make a 12-card deck. So yes, only 12 cards. And that's actually, you know, at first glance, seems like it might be maybe too little, but it's actually like just perfect. Having this smaller deck for me has really gotten me to just get in tune with how the cards play, when to use them, how to use them. And actually I streamed for some of the guys over in the Discord, and I want to say, I think it was Matt Clark that kind of commented, like, man, like, the strategy as I'm just kind of throwing it out, because you play with these cards so much because the matches are only 3 minutes long. So having these shorter matches allows you to play many, many games in a short period of time. And because there's only 6 rounds to each match, I mean, you're using these cards constantly. I mean, if you think about that, you're almost essentially, if you only have 12 cards in your hand and there's only 6 rounds, yeah, sometimes you'll get a couple more cards in your hand, but you're only really drawing 7 to 8 cards max a game. So, but essentially the way it works is with those 12 cards, you go into a battle. There's 3 locations. They go from left to right. One on the left will always spawn on round one. And each of those locations will have a different effect. So one may say, like, you know, after round 5, no other cards can be played here. Or it might say, any card played here with no power gets a +2. Or on turn 4, this location will ruin another location. And in the first 3 rounds, 1, 2, and 3, the other two will flip over. Now, every card has a, I'm just gonna say, mana cost. So on round 1, kind of like Hearthstone, you'll have 1 mana. Round 2, you have 2, and so on, all the way up to round 6, you have 6 mana. The idea is to play your cards down on the location, because each card also has a power level, and you wanna have the highest power level in each location to win that location, and then you wanna win at least 2 of the 3 locations to win the game. And so that's kind of how it's like a quick, you're just kind of dropping these cards, but there's a lot of strategy that comes into play, because not only are those locations randomized, but then also, of course, your cards have different abilities. So like there's one that just says straight up, like, you cannot play a card here. So no card that you have can be played there. So you kind of got to work with your cards to find a way to add power to that location. So one card like Mr. Fantastic, he'll add +2 power to any adjacent locations. So if you can play him in the middle, the 2 on the right and left, you know, the 1 and the 3 basically, but you know, the left and the right, you're adding +2 to that location's just overall power. So sometimes when you can play him next to maybe a location where you can't play cards, you're adding power. Or like I said, one of those locations that may say, hey, after round 3, no cards can be played here, you can continue to add cards there by playing that, because he's just, you're not playing a card there, you're just using a card's effect to go there. There's another card, White Tiger, who you drop her down and she'll just randomly spawn a +7 power tiger essentially somewhere else on the map. So you can kind of work it where, same thing, you may be able to fill up one location, and then that one location where you can't play a card, that's the only place for that tiger to go when you drop White Tiger, because it can't go where you're playing her. It has to go somewhere else. So you're able to kind of play around with it like that. And so the strategy of all that really starts to come into play. There is even like this weird mechanic that I haven't really seen, and they're really kind of pushing this, but you don't see it too often in the game right now. But it's this ability where when you play a game, you're getting these cosmic cubes. And when you play, it's always up for one. And then at round six, it doubles to two. The winner gets two cubes. The loser loses two cubes. You can always retreat. So if you think you're having a bad game, you can hit retreat. And all it's going to cost you is just that one cube. But if you get to that last round and it's now suddenly up to two, you know, you're kind of stuck. But you can snap. And what the snap does is it doubles those. So it could be round four, and I could be like, you know what? I got this game. I'm going to snap. And it's almost like playing, you know, bluffing in poker, where I'm like, hey, man, I'm just going to tell you what I have in my hand. I'm going to win. So I'm snapping and doubling that to then two, but then it's going to double again on round six to four, and, you know, so on, if we're both kind of going back and forth snapping. What you're doing with these cubes is actually upgrading your cards. And not necessarily in their effects, but just more in like their visual things, because the cards are kind of 3D. You get to the point where they're no longer just digital flat cards. You're able to use them where, like, Cyclops's eye blast comes busting out of the card a little bit, and you can kind of move it. And I mean, very, very cool, the visuals and how these cards look. But that's what dictates your character, or I guess your player level, let's say. And so it's always going to kind of put you on, or what it seems to be, it's going to be trying to match you with the player levels, because as you increase in your level, that's when you're getting new cards. From what I can gather right now, reading some other people on the Reddit page, it looks like level 220 at that point is when you have the full 150 card deck. Anything beyond that is unlocking different variants, because that, of course, is where the monetization comes in here, is different variants that you either unlock just by playing, or you can just straight up buy those. You can pay to get some more cubes to upgrade your cards, which, of course, then increases your character level, which then unlocks cards. So it's not necessarily play to win. It's just kind of, I guess, pay to kind of get a boost. But again, it seems like it's really matching you with people of the same character level. So you're getting, you know, people that have similar or could have similar decks to you. I mean, they obviously could have very different, because you may be playing totally different cards than them, but at least they're of the same character level. Every day they have daily missions. There's weekly missions. I think the daily missions reset like every couple hours. It seems like every 3 to 4 hours. So when you play through them all, it's going to dump two more down to you. That's where you're getting kind of these little credits, where you can use those to buy some of those different variants, or to upgrade your cards as well, which of course brings up your character level. I really, really have been enjoying this game. Like, I cannot wait for this game to come out on iOS, because right now I'm just kind of playing on an old Android phone that we have. And even I was able to use the account to get into an Android emulator on BlueStacks. But to have that ability to just literally play this anywhere at any time, because it's only 3-minute matches, like, it is perfect. We had a moment, we were at my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house. My daughter was in the backyard playing with my little nephews, got all dirty. They were playing in like a pool. And she's like, Dad, can I go home real quick and take a shower? It's like, sure. Go home. She goes, you know, takes 10-15 minute shower. I played 3 games. You know, I'm able to just kind of dip in there, just play a couple games and make a little progress, have some fun. It's just a great... great. I don't know. It's really kind of picked up. Like, I think about a game like Hearthstone, and I was there early on in the beta. I got in the beta of Hearthstone as well. And as much fun as that game was then, now it's become almost impenetrable. Like, if you're not keeping up with it, it's hard to kind of learn the meta, and, you know, you don't always have the cards. And yes, I know there's different modes in Hearthstone, and Hearthstone is still a lot of fun. But because you're not playing it enough, you always feel like you kind of get outplayed. This game, I think, still could be that. Like, if you're not keeping up with it or playing your deck and knowing how to play your cards, I could see that. But I think the thing here that really throws a wrinkle in all of that is the fact that you have those locations that are just random. I think there's up to 50 locations. So it's always different when you go in. So that's even adding to it. You know, I try to think to myself, like, what if this wasn't Marvel? Would I be as into it? And I'll be honest, Probably in terms of the gameplay, yes. I think I definitely could if it was a different skin. But I think the Marvel thing is really what drew me to it. And I think that's what's going to draw a lot of other people to it. You know, you're going to discover it because of Marvel. Is the Marvel thing that's going to keep you there? I don't know. I think the cards are cool as hell. Every day I love dipping in to see how the shop, like what variants they've kind of refreshed it with. I mean, the sky's the limit here for... Think of all the comic book artists they could put out there, you know? Like, just imagine when they put out, like, a Jack Kirby set, you know, and they have all these characters that are just all Jack Kirby art, you know, from different books. I mean, so many different things that they could do. And even, like, and Ben Brody talked about this in the reveal video, but they even have things where it's, like, the effects that the characters can have on the map when you drop them down. Like, I mentioned Cyclops. He's a perfect example. When you put him down and you're kind of, like, hovering over the locations, he's shooting a beam across the map. Now, one thing to know is you play at the same time, so you don't actually see the other person's card until it's time for them to flip. The game does pick one person to flip first, and it really isn't told to you that much. You kind of have to look at the player's profile to see who's going to go first. And I don't want to say that doesn't come into play, because it can, but it really doesn't that much. I mean, the only time, there are a couple cards that can destroy cards on the other side. But, you know, once a card is played, it's pretty much going to be in that location. Like, I have Professor X actually can lock down a location. So if you can take the lead and drop Professor X down because you're winning that location, you got it. And they can't play a card there. But again, they could do the Mr. Fantastic move where they're playing adjacent. Just a couple other great cards. And again, you kind of got to see the game to get some of it. But I'll just give you some examples of what some of these cards could do. So like Ant-Man, he only costs one. As long as you can get three other cards at a location, because there's a max four cards at each location, he gets a plus one for each one that's there. So he could actually be, instead of just that one power, suddenly becomes a four power, which is awesome. I mentioned Cyclops. He doesn't have any abilities. He costs three, but he's a four card, which is actually pretty good, because he, a lot of times you'll get that area where it's like, if a card's played here without a ability, you get that extra bonus to that card. So a lot of times when I'm dropping him, he's not coming in with four power, he's coming in with like 8 or 10 power, just depending. Another card, and a couple other cards have this. Gamora is one that has it. Who's the other one? Not Punisher, which Punisher's a good one. Punisher gets bonuses based on how many cards are played across from him. It's Star-Lord. So Star-Lord and Gamora have the same effect, where if you play them in a location and you're basically banking that the your opponent is going to place a card on the opposite side of yours. If you do it with Star-Lord, he gets an extra plus two. So he goes from a two to a four power in that location. Gamora is a 4-5, I believe. And if she gets it, she gets a plus four. Actually, no, I'm sorry. She's a 4-6. So she gets four added to that six. So she suddenly becomes a 10 power in a location. So, you know, you want to play them, especially if the player across from you has kind of been, you're kind of watching where they're playing cards, or, you know, maybe if you see a location that says no cards can be played here until round five. Chances are on round five, that person's probably going to play a card at that location, right? So if you have Gamora in your hand, drop Gamora down and you're going to get that extra plus four boost, boom, you know, and she's going to go up more. So it's little things like that, and you only start learning these from playing the cards. And, you know, like I said, because these matches are so quick and the decks are so small, you're learning these cards. I don't think I've ever really latched on to digital card game. I mean, sure, Marvel Champions, yes. But, you know, Marvel Champions, because the games could take, I mean, they're not long. You know, when you're playing solo, we're talking 25, 30 minutes. But still, that's 25, 30 minutes. You got set up. You have all that. Where this is literally just hit play, match over. After 3 minutes, hit play again. Like, you're just playing match after match after match. And you know, a lot of times in, like, Hearthstone or even in Magic the Gathering, like in Magic Arena, the digital version of Magic, I always feel nervous when I'm swapping my decks out, you know, because I'm like, am I going to totally break my deck? What's going to happen? Where here, it's 12 cards. If you mess up, you could just put your card back in, and it's so easy to do it because it's just such, the decks are so small. But it'll even give you daily quests that may say, like a perfect example was, I got Odin. Odin's kind of a weird card. He has a high power of 8, but His ability, I can't think of what it is, but it was just something I was like, I'm never going to use that ability, like, ever. Oh, I think the on-reveal effects, because some of those abilities are like, when the card is revealed, here's what happens. And it was like, with Odin, all on-reveal effects happen twice, or happen again. Basically, when he's revealed, everybody else's on-reveal effects happen again. And I was like, I'm never going to use that. And one of the daily quests was, hey, play three games with Odin in your deck. So you didn't have to play Odin. He just had to be in your deck. So I was like, whatever. I'll just take a card out and play it. Sure enough, like two of those matches, I ended up dropping Odin. And he got me a big, you know, a big play in the game. And it was like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll play with Odin, which he's not on my deck right now anymore. But it was like, for a time, I was playing with Odin in my deck till I found a replacement for a card that I wanted to go in there. It's really great. So I'm telling everybody, keep your eyes on Marvel Snap. It's pretty much ready to go. Like, I honestly, I'm kind of surprised they haven't just opened up the beta, because it's really... really fun. It's in a great state right now, I think. You know, I know right now, kind of reading the Reddit, there is some issues with some cards and the way they're kind of affecting each other, where they, I think, like, people that have, like, the full decks now, the combo everybody's using right now is a Nova-Carnage combo. And I think Carnage can destroy every card at a location. And then something with Nova, when you do that with Nova, like, he... because I don't have Nova yet. I mean, he's kind of a late card as you get, but it's something where, like, he's boosting something in that spot, but then also, like, either replicating himself or I think maybe going back in your hand. So people are able to, like, or I don't know. It's just something weird where you're able to just keep doing the same combo over and over. So people are like, if you don't have those cards and you come up against that deck, there's no way to counter it. And even if you do have those cards and the person you're playing against gets the combo first, you're done. Like, there's just no way to counter it. So simple, you know, little minutia things like that they got to work out. But other than that, the interface is great. Everything seems to be pretty much ready to go. So I'm really hoping they kind of get it out here soon. If at least, you know, I would hope by the beginning of August or something, like, put this game out, guys. Like, it's ready to go. So keep your eyes on Marvel Snap. As you can tell, and the fact that I'm talking a mile a minute talking about this game, pretty excited about it. I'm really, really digging this game. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't think I would really be in a place right now where, like, mobile games are kind of consuming me. I mean, Marvel Snap is just fantastic. And, you know, Diablo Immortal, lots of fun to play. I mean, everything about it so far I've really enjoyed. I mean, I can see where eventually maybe the criticisms of the, you know, pay to win, those type of aspects come into play. But for me personally, what I'm kind of wanting out of that game, it's giving me right now. And I have no interest in PvP. Half the content I'm probably never going to see in the game. And for what they're having me do to be a mobile game, just to hop on and have some fun, which I even installed it on my PC. And I'm kind of running around through Battle.net with my same account. It's a pretty fun Diablo experience on the phone. I mean, it's so far for me, it's delivered a lot of fun, and I just want to kind of just keep dipping in, doing some daily bounties and running some daily dungeons and all that. It's like a really, really cool mix of typical gaming that you would play on a console or on a PC thrown onto your phone, and with that cross progression is pretty neat. But we'll talk about that next week. I don't want to get too deep into that now. It's, of course, Marvel Snap right now is kind of everything to me. So all right, well, that's gonna do it for me here today, guys. Hopefully you know, you get a chance at some point to get in some Marvel Snap. Maybe if anything, go watch some videos, go watch some live streams, you know, hear some people talking about it. I think you guys would definitely dig it, especially when you kind of see the art on those cards. It's awesome, man. If you're a comic book fan, it's very, very cool. So, as always, don't forget you can follow me on Twitter at Marturka, MARKTURC. And, of course, you can always email the show at theenthuselife@gmail.com. So, until next time, everybody, have a great weekend. And until then, we'll catch you next time.